This episode of Skip to the Show is brought to you by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/skipshow to start your 30-day trial and get a free audiobook on us. Several of them do. What's it to you? Fuck off. How many beers do you have left?
Five.
God damn it.
Why? There's gonna be a lot of
doing this the whole fucking time.
Oh yeah, I can do this for as long as I want.
God damn it. Welcome to Skip to the Show. Hey.
Hi everybody.
It's been a while. We missed you.
It's nice to be talking to you again, as you can't, you know, we can't hear you, but.
No one talks back. It's fine. Welcome to Skip to the Show. I am your host, the webmaster of skiptothescore.com, Justin. And who is back in the kitchen studio?
It's me. Nice to meet you, everybody. I'm me. It's Clinton again.
Your dad.
Yeah, I literally sired all of you.
So, this episode, just the two of us, because Peter's being lame, and I'm too busy. Oh, I've got exams.
I mean, everyone gets busy, right?
We all have exams. I shouldn't be doing this.
I definitely shouldn't.
Things on the site have been a fucking wreck for the last 2 months. I've had no free time. I barely live at home anymore. You watched me clean this table off, the table that's meant for eating.
Yeah, I haven't
put food on this table in quite literally 4.5 months.
I walked into the kitchen and he was cleaning off a table that had clearly never been used.
Fuck no, my parents paid good money for this table. Anyways. So what we decided to do for this episode, given the lack of time in preparation, I say that
preparation
at the start
of
every single episode is like, I'm sorry I didn't prepare more. One day I'll actually prepare for one of these fucking things, but not today.
Any of you guys out there, if you really want to write a script for a podcast, like, do so.
No, the best stuff happens off script. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
We're going to do it live.
Do it live right in your fucking face, pussy. Anyway, so what we decided to talk about this episode is a nice, simple, doesn't require a lot of preparation, mostly just common knowledge that you probably already know, but we're going to reiterate to you. Hey, Clinton.
Yep.
You may have heard of this thing. It was called the Nintendo fucking 8x8.
You mean the N46?
The Ultra Super Nintendo?
We're talking about the fucking N64.
Fucking N64.
People.
Why not? May as well do an N64 episode.
Mazel.
I had to think, I'm like, oh, it's only our 8th episode. It's a little bit early to be doing this. And I realized, no, fuck, we've been doing this for 8 months. It's not.
Yeah. Time has flown. And everybody loves the N64. Any of the fans listening in are going to love to hear our take on a fantastic system. The first one that brought 3D onto the market.
Well, not first, but nah, you know.
With rendering of actual, like, in-process or three-dimensional solids.
You know, maybe not first.
Which one came first?
Motherfucking PlayStation 1.
Oh, yeah.
PlayStation 1 wasn't really doing 3D yet at the time, but the PlayStation 1 does predate the N64 by almost an entire year.
Yeah. But
actually, no, a little more than a year.
Weren't they rendering, like, 3D images and then saving them as frames and then animating
them? Yeah, something like a lot of stuff was done as, like, what you would call now a 2.5D, one of those kind of dealios.
Side-scrolling, but in a 3D environment.
Yeah, that's a lot of what it was at the time, or just straight up just almost Super Nintendo kind of games. Like, Wild Arms, which is a fantastic JRPG, I swear to God. It's great.
You and your JRPGs.
I like a few of them, shut up. But yeah, like Wild Arms, which, if for all intents and purposes, it's a glorified Super Nintendo game that came out on the PS1 in 1995. Weird. But, God damn it. The Nintendo 64 released in North America on what day?
I don't know what day, but it was 19 years ago, I think.
Not 19 years. 20 years ago.
20 years!
That's a joke for nobody.
I mean, Peter might listen to this at some point.
He won't. If you're Bryce Smooth, stop listening. Fuck you. Anyways.
Yeah, yes. I remember when the memes started rolling around, because we live in the meme era.
Oh.
And there was one where saying, hey, the Nintendo 64 is 18 this year. Finally, you're allowed to blow its cartridges. which you should not do.
No, well, officially, no.
The grossness from your mouth will corrode all the terminals. You're supposed to get in there with a Q-tip and rubbing alcohol.
Speaking of Q-tips, I was about to bring this up. You know how you're not supposed to use Q-tips in your ears?
Yeah.
They're literally supposed to be for anything but that.
Yeah, because you can fuck your ears up by using them.
You can. I think they're more for inserting up your urethra, but you know what? That's just me.
I think it's for delivering suppositories, getting right up in your ass, pussy.
Yeah. Swabbing things of that nature. Anyways. So I didn't expect you to get it, but it's a bit of a trick question. The Nintendo 64 officially launched in North America September 29th, 1996.
Okay.
Okay. It came out in Japan in June of that year.
I was one.
I wasn't even one yet. I was almost one.
Not to date myself. I was 17.
Fuck, we've done it. We've done it in every episode.
No. When you edit this, you're going to have to cut that out.
No, I'm not going to. That would take effort and time that I don't have. So, it officially launched on September 29th, although, due to, let's call it, a bit of a systematic retail fuck-up, a non-insignificant amount of N64s were actually sold and distributed to the public on September 25th. So, realistically, and I this wasn't me, I was less than one. A lot of people, mostly in the States, did get an N64 4 days early.
Hmm.
I mean, good luck fucking playing anything on it, but...
Yeah, like, that's what would have been released other than, like, the launch titles?
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, duh, because...
Well, yeah, that's the whole idea of a launch title. Yeah, so, September 29th, 1996, it lived a technically long life, although not realistically.
It lived long in the Nintendo world, kind of.
I put it this way. As far as being actually sold in stores, being produced still, the N64 was in North America, officially discontinued November 30th, 2003. So effectively a little over 6 years. However, let's all just be honest with ourselves. The Nintendo 64 was pretty much dead after 1999.
Yeah.
The only things of any note that came after that were Majora's Mask and motherfucking Paper Mario.
Which is one of the last titles to release
the
on it.
The second last one, if I'm not mistaken. The very last one, I think, was a Powerpuff Girls game. I'll need to double check that, but if my memory serves me correctly, that was the case.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I can remember as a kid, because I got an N64 late in life because, you know, I didn't get a release one at 1 year old. And I was always like a generation-ish behind. But I got an N64 and we used to just go to the Hawk shop, which is the local pawn shop, and they would just sell, like, there would be 5 games in a bag for $2. Like, got a crazy amount of games. It was great.
I'll admit, I actually came into ownership of my very own N64 to call mine at 18 years of age during first year, because up until that point I especially in the earlier days, I never had a lot of gaming stuff. You know, Art and Sue weren't super down with it, etc.
Yeah.
etc. And I remember Peter, that's why I wished he was here, because Peter had one the longest time we were growing up, and I'd hang out with Peter and get to play Ocarina of Time on his N64, maybe a little bit of Smash Bros, right?
Yeah.
And it was one of those, like, awesome things that only existed at friends' houses, right? So it was a fucking treat when you got to...
Yeah, that was me with the GameCube. The GameCube, I never had one, but everyone else had one, so it was like the holy grail that I was able to find at my friends' places. The N64, I think I got all of my N64 at auction sales and yard sales, actually.
Pretty much.
I bought because I wanted to play Donkey Kong 64, so I needed one with the expansion pack, and I bought one in box from the Hawk Shop.
Nice, nice.
Box had never been opened. It was sweet.
You should have left it not opened.
I should have, but I wanted to play. I didn't buy it to not play it, and I was a kid.
Ah, that's
like,
true. Yeah,
and they had like six of them, so.
I'm of the mind of that. I bought mine at a garage sale in Grand Marais, the United States. Came back with it across the border, and the border guard said, "What'd you bring back with you?" And I said, "Well, I picked up an N64." And he said, "Nice."
That's awesome.
I got mine there, and since then there was I'm not as heavy as into it now as I used to be, but there was a time where I was playing exclusively old things, so I really expanded my collection. So my N64 has the expansion, is currently sitting upstairs, hooked up to a 12-inch CRT television, the way it's meant to be played. None of this fucking plugging into a modern TV bullshit, getting it stretched to shit.
Yeah.
None of that nonsense. Yeah, I have one hooked up there. And then also, I'll throw this in, this either makes me the best or worst boyfriend in history. I'll leave it up to you. But for Valentine's Day, not whatever date the show, fuck. Valentine's Day 2015. So last year, My lady friend there, of whom I've been together with for quite some time,
and she's amazing. Like she's best girlfriend.
Way too good for me. She might even listen to this. Who knows?
Hey.
Yeah, I got her an N64 for Valentine's Day.
I remember you telling me that actually.
So I found that at a garage sale here in town, and the whole time it was actually, when she would be over here, I have a Super Nintendo as well. Actually, I got that in America, too.
Do you have Skulljagger?
No. I don't have much for the Super Nintendo, but when she would be over here, it's like she would either, at some point during, I don't know, our date night or whatever you want to call it, she'd wind up like fucking upstairs with the 12-inch TV there, and she'd either be playing Donkey Kong Country, because I have that for the Super Nintendo.
Donkey Kong Country is a fantastic game.
And I had Mario Kart and Mario 64, and same thing, because it's, you know, building memories, is for her when she was like four, going to her babysitter's house, and babysitter had Mario 64, so she's like, oh, childhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, yeah, I just fucking bought her own N64. And Mario 64.
That's awesome. Yeah, I only ever played Mario 64 at my cousin's house when she would babysit us. And finally, in second year of university, one of my friends had two copies of it. So she kept the copy that she had her fully finished save file. And I finally like got the game. Like, I've beaten the game before because it doesn't take that long. And I beat it emulated, but I'd never beaten it full 120 stars. So I finally did that last year. And the other cool thing, because you brought up Donkey Kong 64, was they had Rare, the company, had gotten their hands on a special computer for 3D rendering, but the Super Nintendo couldn't handle how in-depth the 3D images were. So they would take like days at a time to build 3D models, render them, and then screen cap them frame by frame, and then animate them 2D. That's why all this stuff in Donkey Kong Country looks kind of advanced for its time, is because they spent like forever building a game basically backwards. Like normally you would, like in today's modern era, the engines are rendering in 3D, so you can build a 3D model, have it render it real time, and away you go. But back then the N64 wasn't capable of it. It was capable of, you know, polygons and the graphics and all the what have you bullcrap that's gotten way better over the years. But Donkey Kong Country, in my eyes, has stood the test of time, because it's almost like sprites. They're well animated, they're simple, they're well lit.
There are a few art styles in games that'll look pretty forever. And yeah, I'd throw Donkey Kong Country up there as being one of them for sure. I also am always a champion for Wind Waker. Wind Waker will never,
the cel shaded arts,
never not look amazing.
Yeah, but we're talking about the N64.
We're talking about the N64. Fuck. So
can you believe this guy? Jesus. Anyway, don't worry, he can't hear me.
To bring it back to the launch of it a little bit. So, test your memory, test your might.
Okay.
What price did the Nintendo 64 launch for in 1996?
$249.99?
Pretty much. It launched for basically $199 US dollars, which conversion rate at the time for Canadian dollars winds up being about $250-ish dollars.
I just feel like I remember seeing on that box of the one that I bought.
Generally, so. Yeah, Nintendo, weirdly enough, almost every Nintendo console, I think except for like the Virtual Boy, maybe, I don't even remember how much that fucking thing cost, but pretty much every Nintendo console has launched in the price range between $250 and $300 for you know, Canadians. Always in there somewhere.
Interesting.
The Wii U being towards the higher end of that, the Wii U is basically, it was $299 Canadian. Still kind of is for some fucking reason.
Yeah, it's because they want it to live, even though the Switch is coming out.
Well, the Switch!
I get fucking hyped.
I don't want to talk shit about the Switch. I'm going to buy one.
Yeah. It looks like it's fun, useful.
Don't worry.
I don't have a home, like, theater console.
Don't worry. Yet. It'll get delayed. March 2017, my fucking ass. It's going to come out in August.
If it'll come out for Christmas 2017.
Not August. I'm confident in that. But anyway, so, just to satisfy some curiosity. So, came out for $199 US dollars. How much do you think that is in US or Canadian? I'll leave it up to you. How much do you think that is?
Adjusted for inflation?
Well, besides, yeah, pretty much. How much is that in today money? In real money? In post-Donald Trump presidency money?
That's a topical joke. I don't know, like $400? $300? $400?
Are you going Canadian or American?
Canadian.
Okay, you're pretty fucking close. Adjusted for inflation, it winds up being in the ballpark of $415 Canadian dollars.
Wow.
The 90s were a simpler time.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, no kidding.
Soda was a dollar. Oh, consoles weren't so fucking expensive.
Only you 90s kids will remember.
Oh, 90s kids. Remember MTV? Oh, no, fuck. What's the inflection for that? Remember MTV? Remember Goldberg? That's also topical for wrestling fans.
Hashtag only 90s kids.
Only 90s kids will remember WCW.
Man, at some point, hashtag's going to be a thing of the past.
Remember hashtags?
Exactly.
No, the universe will suffer a heat death before those get old. Anyway, so the N64, though, I think it is really interesting to see how like the development cycle of it played out and the weird and wacky going-ons at Nintendo that led to the creation of what they had been calling, before its release, the Ultra 64.
Yep.
Why 64, Clinton?
Because it had 64 bits of RAM.
Fuck, man. I miss those old days of Nintendo where they would title things after like weird physical attributes. So you got the Nintendo 64, 64-bit. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that one. Or
And the other of my favorite of Nintendo's qualities is when they come out with a new console, all of their titles will have like Super Mario 64, Donkey Kong 64, and then there was Super Metroid and Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, I can get it with the Super Nintendo. That's fine. The N64 was kind of weird. But the other one I love too, though, think about it. The Nintendo DS, the Nintendo Dual Screen, which later went on to like just slap more things onto that name. The new Nintendo 3DS Extra Large.
Yeah, or the DSi. Do you remember the DSi? That was a thing for a hot minute.
Fuck, dude. I was at Shoppers the other day. I went to go see the lady friend. They're still selling DSis there for $200.
What?
Yeah.
I bought my 3DS for less than that.
Yeah, I'm like, that's worth less than a quarter of that. You can't use it for anything.
The DSi had a couple downloadable like things. The 3DS has the camera.
Oh, the camera's fucking useless, but whatever.
Well, I mean, you can do the fun like face swap virtual reality bullcrap.
No one did that.
I did because
no, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Anyways, fucking
fight me.
Fucking Nintendo 64, 64-bit. Another great one I loved is remember fucking Super Mario RPG.
Yep.
Super Mario genre. Just that's the title of it. I love Nintendo fucking naming. It never gets old. But essentially, do you remember the name of the company that basically made the N64? So what's Nintendo? Like everything Nintendo does hardware wise, it gets contracted out.
Yeah.
So like Nvidia is the guy. Nvidia is building the Switch.
I know, that's so cool. I can't wait to see it.
Which is great.
But no, I don't know who built the hardware N64.
Dude, Silicon Graphics.
Oh yes, SGI. Duh. Fucking. I should have known that.
SGI, man. Yes, they were the outfit in charge of essentially building the Nintendo 64. just to pull some facts and some figures that I think are interesting and hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
The SGI CPU designed for the Nintendo 64, they were really proud of it. It only consumed 0.5 watts of power, which meant it had, you could sell it for $40. It's great. it's just so adorable looking at old tech specs.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, you know, 64 bits. Was it bits or bytes?
I think then they might have still been calling them bytes for some fucking reason, which is not correct. 64-bit would be the term. I don't think for the Nintendo 64, when their ad campaigns came for that, I think Nintendo had already kind of finished with the Play It Loud era. Oh, I love it.
Play It Loud.
No, that was their ad, because I remember in the console wars, because those were a thing.
Oh, yeah. until the PC Master Race came in, and now
until everybody eventually shit the bed. But before Sony came along and just kind of ruined it for everybody by being the best at it, and it was all Nintendo versus Sega, fucking Super Nintendo versus Genesis. The Saturn had yet to die or exist, but they did both of those at the same time. Ooh, shots fired. But
oh, Sega.
Oh, so you're the worst. But yeah, Sega's entire ad campaign was focused around like attitude and Nintendo's not cool, kids.
Yeah, didn't Crash Bandicoot.
No, that's Sony.
That's Sonic.
Mario's not cool. What is that, a baby game? Chili Dogs attitude.
Chili Dogs, man. Well, gotta go fast.
And to be fair, it's the most 90s thing ever. But for its time, it was fine. And then Nintendo tried to fire back, but at the end of the day, they're still like way more family-friendly, I guess is the term.
Always so, have been, yeah.
So when Sega is doing their, you know, early, mid-90s ad campaigns of Nintendo's not
being
cool,
edgy,
farts
and
are great, all this kind of stuff, they just seem like, you know, the maybe not the cool kid on the playground, but a kid on the playground. And Nintendo's like your dad trying to be cool. Play it loud!
Oh. Play it loud, yeah. Did you see in the last Olympics when the guy from Japan like came up and dressed as Mario, the president of Japan or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever their
why not
leader
fuck it.
Is. Because, you know, Mario and Sonic
at the Olympics. They still make those games.
I know, there have been like six of them.
Gross. Anyway, so I'm going to pull some tech specifications of the N64 for you.
Please do.
Just for lols. Just for laughs. So yes, the CPU, which we established here, only consumes 0.5 watt of power. 64-bit NEC VR4300 with a 24 kilobyte cache. And what do you think the clock speed was? Take a guess, come on.
In what unit?
Okay, well, if I give you technically the base unit is hertz, but yeah. Everything goes fast that you need to, right? If I give away what increment, though, it's going to, you know, ruin the whole thing.
At 30 FPS.
That's not the same thing. Fuck off.
That's screen rendering. I don't know.
I mean, okay, let's put it this way. So
Rides per second.
in my MLG mustard rice mobile over there. The CPU I have in that, I didn't even pick a particularly fast one either, actually. It's the most, probably the most low-key part on the computer. My CPU in there runs at a cool 3.3 gigahertz. Right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
The N64 CPU, granted it was 20 years ago, runs at a cool 93.75 megahertz.
0.7.
Pretty much about 3,000 times slower.
But at the same time,
how far we have come.
Yeah, everything you're still dealing in base code. You're not dealing with like crazy compilers and cross language stuff yet. You know what I mean? Like it's finally starting to render in 3D, but it's not like there's 3D engines that you have to learn to like encode out of and recode into. And
how about the graphics card?
Card
in air quotes in the. In the N64.
I don't have a clue what the graphics spec would be.
Oh, I'm not going to quiz you on this one because that would just be cruel. A 64-bit reality coprocessor, is what they called it, ran at a speed of 62.5 megahertz, which fraction-wise that winds up. Usually your GPUs run at about two-thirds the speed of your CPU would. and over 100, get this, 100 megaflops. Now that's gonna make note that you know, that will mean nothing to you, although if I could, you know, whatever, show off my tech skills. A flop is a floating point operation per second.
Yep.
Okay, yes. Mega flops. Which is equivalent to 10^6 flops.
Yep.
All right. That's what
I hate dealing with floating point numbers versus integers. Ugh.
That's what it ran at, okay? Now, my computer, not quite at this level yet, but GPUs that are starting to get made now, like the new shit AMD's rolling out this year, they run at levels of petaflops. 10^15. Mm-hmm. Fuck's sakes.
Yeah, if there's one thing I know, it's prefixes on numbers.
I need to get better at that.
For those of you who don't know, because why would you know? I've never told you. I'm taking engineering in university right now, and dealing with units is my life.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Other than kill yourself, but you know, whatever.
Yeah,
that's besides the point.
That would be conceding defeat and letting life win. I live now out of spite.
Okay. Now the RAM, the random access memory.
Yep.
Not the Daft Punk album. That shit. Not that. RAM. Now, before the RAM expansion, see if you remember this. How much RAM did it have?
Wasn't that the 64?
No.
Oh, no.
64-bit is the process.
Yeah, that's the process. I'm going to say it's, I don't know, what, like 12 kilobytes?
Jesus, no. No, that's fucking unrunnable. No, it had standard 4 megabytes.
4 megabytes.
Of RAM. But if you got the expansion was 8 megabytes, which you needed to play some of the later tier, more modern games. So, like, yeah, Donkey Kong 64 needed it. Majora's Mask needed it. And I believe Perfect Dark did, too.
Yeah, and then they were going to make a Star Fox game for it, and then didn't.
Well, I mean,
I think
there was Star Fox 64, but...
But didn't
there
it come wasn't before the expansion?
Cause it did, yes.
I think they were doing Star Fox 64 too.
Yeah. That game does actually exist. You can play it.
64 too?
Yes.
Is it like a ROM hack or...
Yeah, pretty much. It was in development and essentially pretty much finished, and then Nintendo just fucking shelved it and said, eat shit and die.
Like they do to all their beloved franchises.
So one of the developers back in, you know, like the internet days of 1999 or whatever it was, he just said, fuck it, here it is. So like it's never been released through official channels, but you can play Star Fox 64 too. It is possible.
Yeah, well, and that's probably how I heard about it, but...
But yes, expandable to 8 megabytes of RAM. Now, to compare it back to the MLG machine, again, I don't even have a shitload of RAM in that thing. Don't really need a lot. I have 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah.
Although most sort of higher tier, you know, real MLG systems, you'll see, will do 16 or up to... Generally, there's no point in going past 32, but some people still do.
Yeah, it's one of those arguments where, like, there will never be a reason for it to draw on more... Then, like, I think it's 9.6.
Well, it depends what you're doing.
But well, and it's having different things open. And if you store things on your desktop, here's a fun fact. If you store files on your desktop, that gets held in part by RAM. So the more just files you have on your desktop, the more RAM you're taking up. Which is why everything on the desktop is supposed to be shortcuts.
Yes, but, okay, well, I'll throw this out there for some PC knowledge, let's call it. So, I went with 8 gigs of RAM for my computer because I was being realistic about what the fuck I would ever need. Because my computer, it's a small build, small case. Micro ATX, it's great. Highly recommend. And I was putting a bit of a heavier duty for the time graphics card in it. My graphics card had, this the one I have, it's a GTX 970. Four gigs of VRAM. So the absolute most that thing is capable of drawing is half of my overall RAM. Generally, that's a ratio you don't really want to exceed because the CPU is going to pull some. Everything else is going to pull a little bit. So I could get away with doing 8, no problem. I'll bottleneck the CPU before I actually wind up hitting fucking 8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
So it's fine. When people go up more, people who do full-size ATX builds, they do multiple graphics cards, SLI them together, and then all of a sudden now you have more video RAM. Stuff that you, if you want to run in 4K, you need to get high high VRAM cards, so you can get ones that pull 8 gigs each.
Mm-hmm. And then you need a, you're basically dedicating different circuits for each.
Yes, here's a problem with that. This is my own philosophy on it. When you start doing that, that you're throwing around a crazy retarded amount of money, and the returns start to diminish quite quickly. So what I built there, one graphics card, only 8 gigs of RAM. I can run anything that exists pretty much, 60 frames a second, ultra or high settings, at 1080p. No worries. Easy peasy.
And why do you need more?
Well, if I want to do 4K, but the problem is, I've seen some fucking retarded builds people have done where they go out and they buy, someone posted one on Fightner the other day. They had 4 GTX 1080s in it. Those cards cost, $800 each. 4 of those, and then, of course, you need fucking 100-and-something gigs of RAM to run all of them. It's like, yeah, okay, so you do 60 frames a second in 4K. Is that really worth the extra $4,000 fucking price tag? Nah, don't think so.
This is why we need to return to the simplicity of the N64.
No, well, yes, on occasion it's fine, but yeah, everything can run on an emulator. Don't worry about it. It's great.
Well, that's one of the fun things is people are with programmable microprocessors and stuff now, and Raspberry Pis and whatnot. People are building gaming cabinets and just emulating. I realize emulating is unethical, but everyone does it. So
it's not unethical.
It's illegal someplace. I don't know. There's some reason that you're not supposed to do it. I never cared.
Copyright laws. But in a lot of cases, I look at it and it's like, is this something that is available for me to go out and purchase by normal means? And if the answer is no, which it usually fucking isn't, then I don't feel bad.
Mm.
That's how I slice it. But anyways, yeah, you can do some amazing things with Raspberry Pis. Technically speaking, that's all that fucking NES Mini is, really.
Yeah, that's exactly. And people...
Fucking, there's none of those left. People went so crazy over those.
There's none left? I didn't even think they shipped yet.
Oh, they shipped.
Did they?
People are crying foul because it's like, oh, Nintendo did a manufactured shortage of them to... Right? And actually, no, I think more, to be honest, I think they actually just didn't know how popular they were going to be. They're sold, people are trying to flip them on fucking eBay for a couple $1,000 a piece and everything.
Jesus.
I
recommend, instead of doing that, go buy yourself a Raspberry Pi and an old NES machine and fucking...
Yep. Way easier.
Program it to... Because then it's not stuck with 30 or 50 games. You can literally put every single Nintendo game that's ever been ROM downloaded off
of. At its price tag, I think it's great, though, because when those things aren't being sold for several $1,000s, they're $70.
I was going to buy one.
Oh, yeah.
But
actually, the lady friend, because she works at Shoppers Drug Mart, which they do carry electronics, which everyone normally forgets, they got 2 of them in. And she was going to set one aside for me and get it for me for Christmas. And then the manager sold it. Because someone came in and they were apparently very, very fucking... Give me them both. Give me them both. Give me... one of those kind of types. So I'm a little miffed about it. But that's,
people got to calm down, man.
They'll make more. They'll make more.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's fine. They'll make more.
It was like the fucking, Smash Bros. GameCube controllers that they weren't going to make more of, and then they made more of... Well, they didn't make specifically more Smash Bros. One, but they made more of the GameCube adapters.
Well, yeah, it's fine.
And then third-party ones came out, and there's going to be more of them.
Jeez. The moral of the story, Nintendo, is people care infinitely more about your old shit than anything you'll ever do from now on.
Yeah, and, they should learn how to make a fun new sequel that's, in the same world, but learn how to not rely on their...
Fingers crossed, Breath of the Wild.
I think we can all hope that Breath of the Wild
is going to be... And whatever that new 3D Mario is, that's totally going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm stoked.
Yeah. I hope it's not like some of the recent Mario titles.
Anyways.
I actually really enjoyed Super Mario Galaxy for being weird and different.
Anyways, we're getting sidetracked very easily in this episode, but that's fine. I think
if you don't like it, comment, subscribe.
I think we'll throw to a quick break, and when we get back, we should talk because we haven't really yet. I think we're going to talk about some of the exclusive N64 games that really made it okay.
Yeah. As well as some of those games that are worth a shit ton. That
There's none of those really.
There are.
No, there's not. Fuck off. Going to break. break time. Oh my god. Hey, thanks guys for listening this far into the episode. Farther than I would have listened. Sorry in advance, a bit of a episode that's light on planning. Just so much crazy shit going on this month. Didn't have time to plan this as much as I would have wanted to. And same thing, Clinton just decided, you know, day of is okay, yes, I can be on the podcast. So the N64, definitely a topic we're going to have to revisit at some point with some actual planning, you know, some actual meaningful content. But if you're liking the show so far, then more power to you. Now, housekeeping items. Same as usual, this episode of Skip to the Show is brought to you by Audible. What you can do now is you can go to audibletrial.com/skipshow and get a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook on us. What is Audible? Audible is the internet's leading purveyor of audio-based entertainment, which is mostly to say audiobooks. Now, it's run by Amazon. You go on there. They have over 180,000 different audiobooks narrated lovingly, some by like weirdly famous people. Essentially, any book under the sun you can think of, it's on Audible. So if you want to do us a real solid and do yourself a solid at the same time, audibletrial.com/skipshow. Now, that's out of the way. I'll also plug May as well. You know what? Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, something like that, just so we have some idea that people seem to listen to this. So on Twitter, we are at Skip to the Show, Skip to the Score, at Skip to the Score on Twitter, Skip to the Score on Facebook. Please check out skiptothescore.com, where all this lives and where all this comes from. And you know what? Just keep listening. We really appreciate all of you. So I think I'm pretty much done rambling. Let's go ahead and get into this train wreck of a second segment. There was a bunch of those books, and they all had great titles, and I'm trying to remember.
Captain Underpants, and they were all like alliteration.
The super super long titles. Yeah. I'm pretty sure because they stopped making those for a while, and then a new one came out like this year or last year. I can't remember what the fuck.
Well, and that's the second hiatus they went on. So remember when we were in public school, I think. Yeah, there's The Adventures of Captain Underpants, and then Captain Underpants and the Attack of the Talking Toilets.
Okay, I had
Underpants and the Invasion of the Incredibly Naughty Cafeteria Ladies.
Dude, it's fine, I had the Wikipedia page open. Come back over here. I may or may not be recording right now. I may or may not be recording right now, so it helps if you're closer to the fucking mic!
Well, why are you recording us talking about Captain fucking Underpants?
Because it's a great way to come into the second segment.
No, it's not. Zero things to do with
have
an
you never have you never have you never listened to this show? It's
you gotta learn how to like segue.
Because there's Captain Underpants and the big bad battle of the Bionic Booger Boy Part One, the Night of the Nasty Nostril Nuggets.
I remember. Yeah,
I had that and the fucking the Part Two, the Revenge of the Ridiculous Robo Boogers.
I had those two. I had the Perilous Plot of Professor Poopy Pants.
Is that one? Yes. The Plight of the Purple Potty People.
Yep. I had almost all of them. I think I was missing the first.
Because that was the last one. Well, so that was the one that came back from hiatus, actually. Because the Robo Boogers ones, the last one, that was 2003. 3 years off. Come back with the Purple Potty People. 6 years off. Come back in 2012. And they've been going one a year since 2012.
What's the? Do they have the like graphic novel spinoff one there? It was the one that was like following the kids, the black kid and the kid with the like weird, gross.
Well, they're Super Diaper Baby. there's a Super Diaper Baby spin-off.
I do remember Super Diaper Baby.
And then, yeah, the last ones that they came out with last year had the Sensational Saga of Sir Stinks-a-Lot. There's also the Tyrannical Retaliation of the Turbo Toilet 2000. Fuck, man. Childhood.
I love that. So, like, who comes up with that shit? Like, that's their job.
Dave fucking, what's his name there? Pivey? Pilkey, that's it. Dave Pilkey. Pilkey. Use that pop filter.
I'd let him have my babies.
So do the Nintendo 64. You know, it had some games, man. It had...
I mean, I would hope so. It's a gaming system.
Had some games. So, obviously, the one I'm probably going to talk the most about, The Legend of Zelda, The Ocarina of Time. Perhaps one of the best games ever made that's aged so poorly.
Yeah, one of the best games in its time, though. Like, if you compare it to everything else in its time, it was leagues ahead.
Ridiculously far ahead. So, that's what I'm talking about. Because, you know, much like every other Nintendo system, the N64 really fucking... it relied pretty much exclusively on Nintendo-exclusive games. So, the N64, I think, was the last console where they had, up until sort of now, any real show of third-party support at all. And even then, it wasn't a whole lot. A lot of stuff went to PlayStation. So, with this generation is when Nintendo lost Square. Square went over to Sony and started making Final Fantasy games on the PS1, etc., etc., etc. So, it was really fucking bound by the exclusive in-house stuff Nintendo could throw together.
Yeah, and then Rare.
Rare, obviously, probably the MVPs of the whole fucking system. But to just go over some of the important ones. So what was the launch game that everyone probably knows the most, actually?
It's Super Mario 64.
Absolutely. I think, and I hear this a lot, Super Mario 64, I think it has a case to be considered the best 3D platformer ever.
If everything they had wanted to do had been done, like, my thing is it's fun, it's bright, the worlds are open, you can do different you're not stuck to the star that you said you were going to do. I absolutely love it. It's a fantastic game, and it's where platforming needed to go into 3D. It's had to take.
I think it is one of the fucking only Nintendo 64 games that's aged even remotely gracefully. Mm. It's still fantastic to play. I equate it to, at this point, it's like you're making essentially the first ever 3D platforming game, the first real 3D navigation game. It also served a dual purpose in the way that it was designed to essentially teach people how 3D games were going to work from now on.
Yeah, with the camera controls and with
all of that. And it's the equivalent of like going up to your very first at bat and hitting an inside the park home run.
Yeah,
and then hitting it not that much stuff afterwards. But you know what? That's fine.
You can only do so much. Sorry, Nintendo.
But yeah, Super Mario 64, and then it only had one other launch game. It launched with only two games for an entire month. Yeah, the launch was fucking abysmal, all things considered.
What was the other launch title?
Pilot Wing 64.
Oh, yes.
Which another one is sort of meant to be like, here's how 3D is going to work from now on.
Yeah, not quite as good.
No. No, it wasn't. I like Pilot Wing, so Pilot Wing's fine. The first, essentially, non-Nintendo published made game, also the third game to come out on the fucking system, period, on Halloween, over 1 month later, was Mortal Kombat Trilogy.
Which is a fantastic game.
Yes, it is. Which is also followed up by Wave Race 64, came the day after that, so November 1st. So that's the next, it's the third Nintendo game on it.
Fourth. Oh, the third wave of...
Yeah, third Nintendo-made game coming out for it. Followed by, I love this, also by Midway, so, you know, Mortal Kombat people. Only two people making games for it right now. Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey. Yes.
Are sports games fun for people? I hate them. I cannot stand them. I don't know. Like, say what you will, I've never enjoyed a sport game.
Look. I will enjoy, in small casual doses, a little bit of NHL something. Okay. Like, don't get me wrong, NHL 02 is still god tier and one of my favorite games ever. NHL 06, pretty great. I haven't played any of the ones after NHL 13. But you know what? For like 40 minutes at a time, all right.
So I can just sit down and do...
I like hockey, so I can fuck with it. Like playing fucking MLB The Show, fuck off. I can't do it. I can't even watch baseball without falling asleep. So there's those. And then I'll be honest, I do enjoy, again, on a casual, like just do it 45 minutes at a time basis. Little bit of them WWE games.
I knew the WWE games were coming.
No mercy. We'll talk about that in a bit.
The other thing about like Super Mario 64 being the for its time the quintessential step to 3D and platforming, the Nintendo 64 is like the only console that I think of when I think of 3D platformers. Because other than the Jak and Daxter series, which went from a 3D platformer to a third-person shooter game. Like not very many other consoles, even to this day, have 3D platformers just for the sake of platforming. Whereas N64 had Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Super Mario 64. Like it's just the one that comes to mind for me. And I miss them. Yeah. I love 3D platformers.
So I'm gonna keep running this down. Just the first little bit here. So we talked about Wayne Gretzky's hockey. Next game after that, November 25th, Killer Instinct Gold, Nintendo. Next one, December 3rd, Cruisin' USA, Nintendo, which, by the way, has the best theme song in the history of gaming.
It does. I actually...
Cruisin' USA!
There was a really...
Yeah!
there was a really bad port of that game in a... an arcade cabinet at a place I worked
as a kid.
Love
the arcade cabs of that game. They're fucking awful. The best possible way.
The worst racing game.
But also coming out on that same day, though, December 3rd, Shadows of the Empire. Also Nintendo. So, stop. Hold. So between launch in September of that year and Christmas, there was a grand total of fucking 9 games available for the system. Mario 64, Pilot Wings, Mortal Kombat Trilogy, Wave Race 64, Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey, Killer Instinct Gold, Cruisin' USA, Shadows of the Empire. I suck at counting, that's actually only 8. The fucking state of your launch, Nintendo.
That is abysmal.
8 games in 3 months.
And
total.
For Christmas.
Total. That's not... That's it.
Yeah, that's... Luckily... A couple of those games are fairly lengthy to actually, like, for completionists. Because that was one of those things back then, is, like, lastability. Your game needs to be able to be worth its fucking however much you pay for it. Fucking, like, 80 games for a game now. Shit's crazy. Shit's fucking steep.
The fucking state of it. So.
But God. I can't... 9 games. That's crazy.
Now, granted, it would get better. In 1996. No, it would never get much better.
There's lots of games for the N64.
Yeah, N64 also still existed for a lot of time. Like,
I guess.
About how many notable N64 games you can think of in your head. Like, ones that you really remember fondly. I'm betting you don't remember more than, like, 12.
That's probably the number that I was going to pick, actually.
Exactly, right? Those 12 games spread out over the course of essentially 3.5-4 years.
Yeah.
And not a lot to fill in the gaps in between. So we go into the following year. I'm just going to like read through the notable ones people would remember or care about.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Kart 64 came in February of 97. So did Blast Corps. There's like 6 people who played Blast Corps.
So why'd you bring that one?
Blast Corps is great. No, Blast Corps is actually really good. At least I remember
I feel like
it being really good.
I'm a biased reader here.
Doom 64. I mean, it's the worst Doom, but Doom.
It exists. Yeah.
In March of 97. Okay. July of 97, Star Fox 64. All right. GoldenEye in August of 97.
GoldenEye.
Over 2 years after the movie came out. Fucking cheers.
Yeah.
Now, Clay Fighter 63 and a third. September of 97.
Also, for any of you guys listening, if you want to check out the seventh episode of Skip to the Show, we talk a little bit more about GoldenEye and all James Bond games because it is the 007th episode.
Good plug there. I like that. I'm getting better at this. Skip to October, Duke Nukem 64. November, Diddy Kong Racing, which is terrific.
Great game, yeah.
Bomberman 64, also November. That game's fucking horrific, but it's like really rare, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like one of those ones that's worth a million fucking
dollars.
Yeah,
it's the only reason why I'm really mentioning it.
And that's because it's so rare, because nobody wanted it.
Yeah, good one. And then, that's it for 97.
For notable games.
I'm for sure, notable
sure there
ones.
There were a couple ones you missed there that nobody
Dude, I missed Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey in 1998. Wow. Fuck. If we'll go on to 1998, which also had a couple of choice games in it. Like, what game? I'll get to it, don't worry.
just list them out because I'm really bad with dates.
First notable one of any remote fucking value, Yoshi's Story, March of 1998.
That game is fucking weird.
Oh, it's very weird. I like it, though.
It looks unfinished, but it's still, like, an actual, like, you know, Yoshi's level game. So, like, the gameplay is fine. It just looks so... They were trying for, like, a claymation sort of a deal, but everything was just really gross.
Yep.
Fun to play, but just weird to look at.
Oh, I really like it. There's that. Okay. Also in March, later in March, though. Quake.
Mm-hmm.
OG Quake. Cool. A lot of people probably won't really... they'll know the series. They probably won't know this game, but I'm a mark for these fucking games. Also, end of March, 1080 Snowboarding.
Again, that's...
You ever hear of 1080 Avalanche on the GameCube?
GameCube is the one I missed.
Fucking excuse me. No, 1080... Well, this one was made by Nintendo. It's a snowboarding game, fucking obviously. It was the pinnacle of it until basically SSX came along.
Okay, I've heard of SSX.
SSX so. Tricky! And fucking Ubisoft just made Steep. It's coming out in a couple weeks.
Cool.
I played the beta. It's quite good, actually. I liked it. Oh, yeah. I liked it. I don't $80 like it. I like $45 like it. You know.
Spoiler, that's a good metric.
Spoilers for the review. Look for it later. Okay. Oh, here's a game for you. Came out in 1998, April 16th.
Okay.
Mystical Ninja starring Goemon. I
fucking love that game. Any of you guys listening who haven't played Mystical Ninja starring Goemon for the N64, fucking emulate that shit. I don't care. It is quirky. It's fun. It's fantastic game. The music, the everything, it's just fucking awesome. Imagine you mix Mario and Zelda and make it as Japanese as you possibly can, and that's what Mystical Ninja Starring Goemon is.
But both those are already Japanese.
Yeah, but like,
I know,
this is literally like, it's set in the Nihon. It's set in Japan. A part of Japan goes flying into space, and you have a space robot battle. Shit's fucking awesome. You gotta play that. One of my favorite games. Soundtrack's amazing. Story's amazing. It's quirky. It's fun. I mean, I'm a bit of a weeb, so...
Fucking weeb master over here.
I've got that going for me, but I played this game and loved it before I ever watched anime. Or before I watched anime.
So what you're saying is this game's fault that you're a weeb?
It might be. It might be. Okay. Leave a comment in the comment section below
you fucking
if you
weebs.
Think I'm too much of a weeb or not enough of
you
a weeb.
Dirty fucking weebs.
I might check it if Justin reminds me. So.
No one comments. It's fine. Moving on.
If we tell them to comment, they might comment.
No, they won't. I've tried. Moving on. May 31st, 1998. Banjo-Kazooie.
Love it.
Yes, Banjo-Kazooie is great. Banjo-Tooie, that's great, but still good.
Yeah, Banjo-Tooie was fun. I wouldn't call it a good sequel. But
I mean, at the end of the day, though, Banjo-Kazooie was always the poor man's Mario 64.
Yep.
So were most games of that era, to be honest.
But it was a different story, different characters. It was fun. It was 3D platforming. It was just fucking fun to play.
Now, next one of note, though, I'm not really going to count it. Pokemon Stadium in August. Only in Japan, though. Wouldn't come to America for a while still.
Okay. So, love that game, too.
It is terrific. Dude, WWF Warzone, August 11th.
Actually, I have that game.
It's not the best. WWF game without a doubt. That's No Mercy. No Mercy is still the pinnacle. Still the best wrestling game ever.
Yeah, I do have Warzone. I don't think I've ever played it. It's just sitting in my N64 collection.
Okay, Body Harvest in September. Some people remember that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like... would it be fair to call it the first GTA? It might be.
I don't know. I never played. I just know things about it.
It might be. But September 30th, 1998. F-Zero X.
Great game.
Ooh.
I mean, fun. Lots of fun.
The best racing game of that era.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
By far.
Which
well,
would
I mean, Diddy Kong Racing.
Which would then lead to F-Zero GX, one of my all-time favorite games, and I'm on record on this show. What episode? Episode 3, Nolan Derrick, calling F-Zero GX the greatest racing game ever made. And I fucking stand by that.
Yeah, you can say what you want. It's difficult, it's challenging, it's fun, it's fast.
Wow, maybe you should try fucking getting good then.
No, a fun game needs to be difficult and challenging. Like, people are like, oh, games are too hard. Like, game's supposed to be hard. Like, you're not supposed to just be able to breeze through a game. Fucking F-Zero GX is one of those games where you were going fast, and if you fucked up, you died.
Gotta go fast.
Exactly. Well, gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast. Wow, chili dog attitude.
Getting
into it.
He's going through it.
Next, I mean, I'll count this as notable, I suppose. Wipeout 64. Sure, November.
Sure.
November 3rd, yes. Cool.
It might be fun. I've never played it.
Okay, now here's we're going to get to a killer's row of two games in a row that are good. Are you ready?
Are they going to knock my dick off?
Yes. November 17th, 1998.
Huh?
Rogue Squadron.
Oh, yeah, Rogue Squadron, yeah.
That's a hell of a ticket. It took you three and a half seconds.
I thought you said Rogue something. I was like, huh?
Rogue Squadron. Okay.
I also have that game.
Good. But we'll put a pin in that because we're going to move on to something far more important a mere 6 days later. The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Yep, that's a...
The one game everybody bought the system for. Here it is, literally 2 years later.
Mm-hmm. My God.
Cool. So,
fucking so much fun.
Ocarina of Time, like, I'll say this, just because I'm going to talk some shit about it being so late. But it's one of these days, I give Nintendo a lot of shit anytime they announce anything. Because I said, cool, can't wait for it to come out next April. Regardless, like, oh, it's going to come out in June. Nah, next April. Because everything gets delayed. Usually
like,
a lot.
Just don't fucking announce it.
Like, I can understand some stuff getting delayed here, because it happens, right?
Oh, yeah, delay happens. That's part of the production cycle.
But there's something to be said when pretty much everything you announce that's supposed to be a big deal consistently is delayed 9 months. Everything. Maybe just push your schedule back
nine months.
Let's do 6 months, and then if you only delay it 3 months, it's not as bad. Whatever. But yes, so...
Nintendo, you gotta have some realistic deadlines.
So around the time... Yeah,
make that Gantt chart.
When... I hate that class. Fuck. I have to take that again. Well, so as Operations Management 2. Fuck, I'm taking that class. I hate it. But anyways.
Not such a fan of project management.
Fuck off. Anyways... But when the N64 was announced, originally announced, of course, what are you going to show off this console with? Here's a little taste of Mario 64, which actually fucking came out at launch. Cool. Fun fact, every 3D Mario since that was supposed to be a launch game missed the launch. Every single one.
Probably going to happen.
That's why I have no faith that one's going to make this one. But so that, and then of course, early Ocarina of Time stuff. Cool. 2 years late.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think they delayed it ahead of the launch of this console and said 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it was a Miyamoto Iwata call that we need to put this in the oven a little bit longer to, you know, really polish it out, make it amazing. And it's one of those cases where, look, I have fingers crossed for this for Persona 5 right now, because Persona 5 has gotten delayed so hard.
I was going to say, isn't that the one that's been delayed 7 times?
Yes. Yes, it is. It was delayed again a couple weeks ago.
I was going to say, yeah, Austin, yes. My roommate was telling me about that.
Yeah, I fucking want it. But anyways, look, if you got to push it back a little bit to make sure it's just right, I'm all right with that. I'm all right. You take all the time you need with something this big. Something that's important.
Well, and look at how Ocarina turned out. Like,
amazing.
I mean, every game has bugs.
The best.
But it wasn't buggy. It wasn't broken. It was...
Not at all. Now, eventually, I do want to do a just solo Ocarina of Time episode, because there's a lot to fucking unpack with that game. But it's amazing seeing its development cycle and how it all went, because the game started being developed in 1994. So essentially a 4-year development cycle for it. Originally, the game was going to essentially be that Windows 95 fucking screensaver that's like the maze. It was going to be like a first-person dungeon crawler kind of simulator. Like, say what you will about, you know, Miyamoto and everything, but, you know, shit starts spitballing and then, let's try this instead. And that was a big part of where most of that game came from. One of the most notable things, like Epona. Epona is the reason why the fucking open Hyrule field actually exists. Because it said,
we want
Link to have a horse. Well, what's the point of him having one if there's nowhere to use it? Fuck it. Hyrule field.
Well, then they made her plot important with getting to...
As you do. Yeah. But the idea, I think, was at some point some artist fucking drew Link on a horse, and then, you know, Miyamoto was, like, sat back and, like, lifted his glasses and just...
He just, like, dropped his shades a little bit and was like...
This. Get this man a raise. And that man went on to become... So, I don't know. I was gonna say, like, Koji Kondo, and I realized that would make no fucking sense.
No, Koji Kondo...
That man would go on to become Aonuma. No, that makes no sense either.
he's probably a cuck.
Fuck! God damn it.
You knew it was coming.
At some point in the episode, yes. Okay, let's put a pin in Ocarina of Time just for now, because I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, we can talk about it in a different episode.
Look forward to it, dickheads. All right.
Just kidding.
Moving on to the next thing that is remotely important. The fucking South Park game, which was in December of the same year. Dope. Always great. Recently, I've side note, as of the recording this, I started replaying through Stick of Truth.
I love Stick of Truth.
Well, it's happening on my laptop, so when I go to the classes I don't want to go to, I just sit at the back and hope no one looks, because that game's fucking horrific to bystanders, right?
Yeah, it's NSFW.
Oh, very much so. So I just sit at the back and just, you know, don't pay any attention. Do that. Great game. Moving on again. December 31st, so New Year's Eve, which is a fucking ballsy day to release a game in America, considering nothing is open and no one would go buy it. Castlevania. Castlevania 64.
Castlevania 64, like the worst one.
The worst one, yes.
Simon's Quest is also like historically fucking.
Well,
awful,
it's just weird. It's the same. Again, I want to talk about this on its own episode. But of that era, where the idea of a sequel was like to game designers at the time was, no, we can't do the same thing twice. Everything needs to be drastically different. Why Castlevania 2? Nothing like Castlevania 1. Zelda 2, nothing like Zelda 1. Mario 2, nothing like Mario 1.
Yeah. Anytime we start talking about sequels, especially because we talked about Castlevania and then Ocarina of Time, all you listeners out there should go check out Ego Raptor's Sequelitis. I don't necessarily agree with his opinion, and not everyone does, but he does like start to think about sequels in a very critical way that got me thinking about, like, I don't know, like game design and sequels and like how a sequel should be and stuff like that. So they're worth a watch. You go check them out. They're pretty okay.
Fuck that. That was December 31st. Next notable game, April 26th of 1999.
God,
Smash Bros.
That is a
Smash Bros, which is its own episode. Let's not get it twisted.
Gigantic gaps in fucking time.
Oh yeah, because after that, then in May you got Quake 2. If you care about Quake 2.
Do you?
Now,
I don't think you do.
Also, Command & Conquer was the same day. Now, here's something. Same day as all those. May 31st. Superman 64. Yes!
Game about flying through hoops.
The worst!
You mean you don't love Superman 64?
In a very ironic way, yes, I do.
it stands its purpose. If it didn't exist, we wouldn't have something to make fun of.
If we're going to keep plugging shit, the Laser Time of the reason this podcast exists fame. They did a great video for their YouTube channel, which was, I think it was the 5 or 6 things. Like, the worst 5 things Superman always does in games. And it more or less is a video explaining, here's why there will never be a good Superman game. It's just not possible.
Yeah, you can't... Yeah, check it out. Just go have a listen.
Because, spoilers, one of those entries on that list is flying through fucking rings.
Well, that's any flying game, like...
Well, Pilot Wings, it makes sense. Doesn't make sense if you're fucking Superman.
Yeah, there's no... Yeah.
Or the Superman NES game where he takes the subway. Or anytime he climbs a ladder, which happens in all... It's... Whatever.
Yeah.
Moving on. June 30th. Mario Golf. Hey, love it.
Do you?
Yeah, actually, I do.
So golf games are one of those exceptions for me for sports games where they're, like, kind of fun. They're way easier than actual golf.
Moving on. August 31st. Road Rash 64. Cool.
Never played it.
I suppose. I guess if Road Rash is your thing, it's nobody's thing. But then moving on. November 22nd.
Those of you who can't see, he's giving me the shh symbol.
Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah. Love that game.
Worst camera ever, by the way.
Camera's really bad, but that game's a lot of fun. It's just, it's another poor man's Mario 64, but it's different. It's got Donkey Kong in it. Fucking go
Danky,
play it.
Danky Kang.
Danky Kang. The cartridge is yellow.
Wow.
Lots of fun. Well, and like, it's fun because you kind of have a party, which I mean, also going to re-plug Legend of the Mystical Ninja. Like, each one has a different weapon that they can use and a different musical instrument. And, like, there's a bunch of different mechanics that were all implemented in that game, which was fun. It kind of showed, like, how you can have different mechanics do different things in games. It was fun. It was fun, okay?
It's fine. Fuck.
God,
Dad. I skipped a couple for Halloween that came out. Most notably, Resident Evil 2. Halloween 99. South Park, Chef's Love Shack. Not that good, but whatever. And, Turok Rage Wars.
Did you miss the original Turok?
Seems like it. Turok and Turok 2, look them up, they're great.
Yeah, Turok, I still play that game. It's fun.
Okay. I skipped more than a couple of wrestling games at this point, but I feel like mentioning this one. WWF WrestleMania 2000, one of the worst WrestleManias. Anyways, moving on.
For those of you who don't know, Justin loves wrestling.
Dude, if you're listening to this, you've listened to this show before. I made a reference to Goldberg earlier. Fuck off. Rainbow Six came out in November. November 17th. Yeah, the original Rainbow Six.
What is that?
Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six.
Oh.
Okay. Yes, the first one.
Tom Clancy.
Oh, dude, here's one for us. Get ready. November 30th. Harvest Moon 64! Hey, motherfucker!
I hope you heard that awesome high five that we just did.
It's the best!
I wasted so many hours in that game. I got. Did you ever, like, there was a cheat for any of you who want a little insider info into my mad speedrunning prowess. It's not speedrunning at all. But if you pick up your dog and then go talk to Karen, who is, like, the winemaker's daughter, you just talk to her with your dog forever, she'll become your wife. It's like the cheapest way. You don't have to do any of the bullshit where, like, you answer questions correctly and make her heart get bigger. You just go, I think it takes 3 days in a row. You just pick up your dog and walk to her and then talk to her with your dog all day until it's nighttime. And then she'll fall in love with you and have your baby.
That's what I did in real life, pretty much.
That's how you got your awesome girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just picked up Mika and was like,
yep. All right. Moving on into the year 2000. Nothing in January.
Okay.
In February, on the same day, we get Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. All right.
I wonder if there's nothing in January because of, like, fucking Y2K.
I mean, there was, excuse you, there was Disney's Tarzan.
Excuse you.
Anyways, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Yep. And finally, Pokemon Stadium in America. On that, so 2 years late. In America.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking cheers. You may notice I say that a lot. That's just how I deal with my my distaste. But then nothing until April. Excitebike 64. Then in May.
Was it fun? Was it good?
I remember nothing about it. Then in May, Perfect Dark. All right. Okay. Bomberman 64 2 also came out in May.
Was it also as awful as the first one?
I have to assume so, yes. I see no reason to disbelieve this. Rolling through the summer, what do you think some of their big summer game releases were? Did you guess Madden NFL 2001? Because that's pretty much it.
No.
That's pretty much it. Turok 3 came out in August, though. It's the worst one, maybe.
The original Turok's the only one I've played.
Two is great. Three is not.
Okay.
Three is a bit of a fuck.
I have to look for a copy of two.
Three is a bit of a fuck up. Okay.
The bastard child.
We keep going because then we get to. Sorry again, a killer's row here. October 16th, 2000. Cruisin' Exotica.
Killer's Row, you say?
But the next one is, though, because the next one was a week later, Majora's Mask.
I love the story behind Majora's Mask.
Hey, I guess the game's also getting its own episode. That one.
There's going to be, you're going to do, the Summer of Zelda, where you do, four episodes of all Zelda games.
Fuck, that's a great idea. Okay, I'm doing it.
There's, every month of the summer, it's just, Zelda game. Or, maybe you split them into two, so you end up doing eight Zelda games instead of just four.
Yes. Anyway. I'll be honest, I'll throw this out there. It is also, by the way, sitting up in my N64 right now. I'm going to leave it with this. We're going to move on because I don't want you to argue with me. I think Majora's Mask is better than Ocarina of Time in every single way, shape, and form.
Oh, shit!
Moving on to the next week. The world is not enough. Oh!
I hate you so much.
The world is not enough, bitch. Listen to episode 7. It's all right. Don't you care? It's my feelings on that one.
Anyway, let's get this ball rolling. People are probably fucking...
Majora's Mask is amazing. Fuck you. It's the best. It's the best. Yeah, there is nothing else for the rest of 2000. That's it. That's the end of it.
Wow.
I mean, there's Spider-Man 64, if you want to choose to remember that. I don't remember you do. Moving on. The last real notable release... February 5th, 2001, Paper Mario. And so it died. Well, I mean, Conker's Bad Fur Day came out a month later.
Conker's Bad Fur Day was an interesting...
Interesting, yes.
Do I call it a game? I guess it was a game. It was interesting. If you haven't played it, go take a look. I don't know, watch a Let's Play. That's what you kids are into these days. I don't fucking know. But
okay, and we'll finish this out just to feel sad. The final, I don't know, eight, let's see how good I am at counting, games for the N64. Are you ready? April 8th, 2001, Dr. Mario 64. Gross. May 6th, 2001, Mario Party 3. August 21st, 2001, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. Okay, remember that, that's going to be important. September 12th, 2001, Madden 2002. All right. Here's the one I was thinking of, but I'm not correct. October 14th, 2001, Powerpuff Girls Chemical Extraction. Okay.
Yay.
November 27th, Razor Freestyle Scooter. November 28th, NFL Blitz. So this is 2001, right? Then, August 20th, 2002. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, the last N64 game. Holy shit.
So within the last eight games, there were two Tony Hawk games.
Within the last eight games, there was a span of a year and a half.
Yeah, but that sometimes happens at the end of a console's life.
Motherfucker, they're still making PS3 games.
True.
The last PS2 game came out last year.
What game was it?
It was one of the fucking Madden games, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, of course.
I'm still counting those. I still count Tony Hawk. Yeah, they were still making PS2 games up until 2015. Fucking choke on that, dick. Impressive choking sounds.
I try.
So, I think as much as I have a real love for the N64 and a lot of nostalgia and all this kind of jazz, looking back on it,
not an impressive.
I was
going
to say you have to acknowledge the fact that it was kind of shit.
But the console itself wasn't as shit as the titles that got
Well, that's where a console lives and dies. So I think it's fair to say the PS1 kicked its fucking dick in. Not in terms of, notable games, okay, maybe the you can make the case the best PS1 games aren't as good as the best N64 games. But if we want to look at like notable things, the PS1 had far more notable games for it. Also, it sold way fucking more. It just did. It was better. Let me move on, and then Nintendo would continue the trend. GameCube, underpowered compared to the other consoles.
Yeah.
Fewer definitely. Exclusives. Didn't sell a fucking quarter as many as fuck units as the PS2 did. The Wii, even more underpowered compared to its fucking, you know, its competition.
But motion control.
And also did sell more. Sold more than the rest of them. Didn't touch the PS2 still. PS2 is still the...
PS2 is fantastic, though.
Still the best-selling console by a fucking mile.
I loved my PS2. And I remember when you could buy them for, like, $50. Because, like, the PS3 came out.
But I bought two of them for $40.
Exactly.
Love it.
But, like, brand new, like, in box.
Well, no, but...
Yeah.
No, So, I'll put it this way, because it's about time for us to wrap up. Aww.
My dick.
Looking back on it. Yeah, the N64 was pretty shit, but so what? So what?
It's fun.
I don't know about you.
I realize I say that a lot, but shit's fucking fun. Just go play it.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to go play Majora's Mask and make love to my girlfriend.
I'm not going to do that.
Just kidding. I'm only going to play Majora's Mask. She's going to be really mad if she hears that.
And he would be really mad if I made love to her.
Yeah, I would be. Yeah, we don't have a problem.
That's why I don't do things like that.
So you know what? If I'm gonna plug some stuff before we go, I probably
like
should.
In my ass.
Yes. Get that right in there. But before we do, we gotta make some time to pay the bills. Hey, if you like what you hear, you should check out skiptothescore.com. It's where all this stuff happens. It's where the magic is. Also, if you're hip and trending all over them social mediums, you can follow Skip to the Score on Twitter at Skip to the Score. You can like Skip to the Score on Facebook. I'm pretty sure it's just facebook.com/skip to whatever. Just search it.
You can like it. Then
I got
subscribe.
I got the name on lock. Yeah, go ahead and comment, subscribe. I don't know. Fuck off. Do all that kind of shit. See if I care. Fight me about it. If you're getting this on the iTunes, make sure you leave a review. And other things that popular podcasters will tell you to do. Anyways, you want to follow me on Twitter? I'm at JerstinRob. Mostly I am just a meme machine with a heavy undertone of depression and existential despair. Glenn, where are you these days?
Well, I don't know. I'm around. I'm here. I'm there. You can find me at ClintBav12 on the Twitter machine. I'm sometimes a twit and I tweet. Not that often, but I see something funny, I'll retweet it, I'll share it. Sometimes I'll get drunk and post something, and you guys can all laugh at my my silliness on the Twitter. So go ahead.
We'll be doing that tonight. If you want to, I didn't mention it, but if you want to figure out exactly when this show is posted, go find Clinton's last drunk tweet. That's when we're recording. So anyways, this has been episode 8 of Skip to the Show.
Woo.
What the fuck was that controller, by the way? And we'll see you later, fuckers!
Everyone.
Great mighty poo, and I'm going to throw my shit at you.